Our message this morning is titled, Knowing Our Father in Heaven. And our text is from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. And next week we'll finish the rest of the story from Luke 10 through 32. This story is really about God's love. And we'll find it out today, and we'll find it more as we get into it next week too. Our scripture is Luke 15, 1 through 10. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Amen. The Word of God is so good. There is so much in it for us today. One of the things is I want to first mention about a man named Tozer. Tozer was a great man of God who wrote The Knowledge of the Holy, a study of the character of God. He wrote, quote, What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Unquote. An unbeliever has little place for God and may say the most important question isn't related to God at all, but to things like climate change, global warming, pending recessions, political problems, division within our country, personal matters of self-worth, or other problems going on today. Tozer's question is true. What we think of God, what we think about God, is of first importance. We must be God-centered, and we must be Christ-centered. Sometimes those who speak the most of God are the most ignorant of Him. And that is one of the main points of the scripture today in our text. Tozer was right, though. What comes into our minds when we think of God really is the most important thing about us. What do you think of? What do you think of God? Do you think of the promises of God? Do you think of how much God loves you? As it says in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you personalize that verse and say, For God so loved me, he so loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son to die for you. And that if you believe in him and the Father, you will not perish but have everlasting life in heaven? Do you think of that? Or do you think of what it says in 1 John 4:10, herein is love? I love that verse. It just gives us a very definition about love. It says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Do you think of that? What propitiation means is atonement. God loved you so much, loved me so much, that he sent Jesus to atone for our sins. Oh, there's so many promises of God we can think about. Like Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he planned beforehand that we should walk in them, before the very foundation of the world. Yes, there's many wonderful promises we can think of. What you think of God is of first importance. One last verse, and I could go on, is John 17:3. The very definition of eternal life. It says, this is eternal life, that you might know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. It is so important for us to know the Father and us to know the Son. And that's what this message is about today. Knowing our Father in heaven. When you think of God, do you know you're going to go to heaven? Or do you hope you're going to go to heaven? I just pray that you do not hope you're going to heaven, but rather that you know you're going to heaven. And that you know it within your heart, your soul, and your mind. And if you do not, I think you should talk with me after church today. Luke 15 is known as the parable of the prodigal son, but it's about two sons. The Lord's purpose is not so much to describe a prodigal son, but a father's love, the father's heart. And that's what we find out in this text, this chapter 15. The story begins in verses 1 and 2, where the tax collectors and the sinners are drawing near to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes complain, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Wow. First, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. In Luke 19:10, we read that. Of which we all were before we came to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We were lost. The Pharisees and the scribes and the teachers were self-righteous and didn't even know they were sinners. The text today is to both groups of people, to the sinners and to the self-righteous Pharisees. And if we are honest with ourselves, we can sometimes be self-righteous also. One of the things is we should never forget Romans chapter 3, verse 10, where it says, there is none righteous, no, not even one. What a powerful verse. And it packs it in and it puts us all in our place. There is none righteous, no, not even one. How far back would you have to go? Or would the courts have to go, rather, to find something wrong with you? How far back would God have to go to find some sin in our lives? We are not to judge, but leave that to Christ, the judge of the living and the dead. Jesus begins by telling them three parables in Luke 15. One about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Each parable is also addressed to the self-righteous Pharisees. They know far, far less about themselves and God than they think they know. That's one of the keys to this message. They know far less about themselves and about God than they think. The Lord Jesus wants us to see the Father's heart and compassion for the lost and how he rejoices when the lost are found. Jesus begins with the lost sheep. I have not ever lost any sheep. But we lost our oldest daughter at Valley Fair when she was about 5 years old. She was there, and then she was gone. We yelled for her and searched for her everywhere. We were in a panic. Then she appeared and said she had gone to the bathroom. You know what's really amazing? That somehow this came up about 2 weeks ago or so when they were back at our house. And she says, well, she really didn't go to the bathroom. She went to the petting zoo. But you know what? Beside the point, she was back with us. And that's what was important. She was with us. In Jesus' day, a shepherd was responsible for the sheep. And he had to pay for its loss unless he could prove, or unless they could prove, it was due to a predator. So the shepherd would leave the 99 and search for the one that was lost. Every person's heart should go out for those who are lost, for those who do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Every person's heart should go out for them. It's like a pastor is concerned for the lost within the church and concerned for the lost within the community. And a pastor should be preaching that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to have peace with God is through Jesus Christ. That's what it says in Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to have peace with God except through Jesus. There is joy in the heart of the lost sinner coming to Christ. There is joy in the one doing the finding, of bringing that one to Christ. And there is joy in heaven. It says in Luke 15, verse 7, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Repentance is what sinners do before they become saints. Repentance is what sinners do before they become saints. Repentance is a reversal. Changing our mind to trust from me to God. Getting our mind off our self-righteousness and trusting in God. It's sometimes so hard to completely submit to God. But we find that throughout Scripture that we are to submit to Him. And God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life that is completely yielded to Him. When we yield to Him and put our hands in and put our lives in the hands of God, He'll take care of everything. We just need to trust in Him. We all need the faith to have the resolve to let God work. Three of the Gospels record the declaration of Jesus that He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In Mark 2:17. Repentance is not an apology for sins. It's a heart, it's a mind, and it's a soul turning from self-righteousness to God's holiness. Repentance is not an apology for sin. It's turning our heart, our soul, and our mind to the holiness of God. It's a lost that repent, not the saved. A sinner repents coming to Christ. The book of 1 John is written to the saints, the saints of God, to those who believe in Jesus Christ. One of the key verses in 1 John is 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. I can see you know that one. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession is what saints do when they sin, to stay in fellowship with God. Not everybody agrees with this, but I'll explain. Confession is an agreement identifying that sin is against God. Psalm 51 is one of the greatest prayers of confession
a prayer of King David, where King David pours out his heart to God over the sorrow and the terrible sins of his affair with Bathsheba, asking God to forgive him. In verse 2, he says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." David acknowledged to God in verse 4, he says, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." He confessed his sin and asked God in verse 12, one of my favorite verses, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Do you know what David said? Did you catch that? David didn't say, "Restore unto me thy salvation." No. He says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." That is why we confess our sins to our Almighty God, so that we can have that fellowship with God and know that joy of God, the joy that He wants us to have, so we can know His love. Yes. Confession is important. And it's so we can stay in that fellowship within that love of God. In Philippians 2:11, it says, "One day every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." God wants people today who do not know Him to repent, come to believing in Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Rather than waiting to confess terror at the great white throne judgment. Yes, if you do not believe in Jesus with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind, and the Father, your time today is to do it. Because if you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, and Almighty God as your Father, the great white throne judgment awaits. Jesus tells us, in John chapter 10, verse 11, He says that He is the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. And in verse 14, He says that He is the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by them. Christ knows you. When you are His child, He knows you. And we are to know Him. We are to know Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind, all of our strength. What we know of God the Father and our Son and the Holy Spirit is the most important thing about us. Do we know Him? Do you know Him that way today? Do you love Him? Now we come to the lost coin in verses 8 through 10. The sheep was lost because of foolishness. Maybe the coin was lost because of carelessness. Like our carelessness, believe it or not, it could be in some home where you could cause someone not to come to Christ. Being a lost soul. When a Jewish girl married, she began to wear a headband of 10 silver coins to signify that she was now a wife, like a modern day wedding ring would be today. So when she lost it, she would search for it, like a woman would search for their wedding ring today if they lost it. And how she would rejoice when she finds the ring or the coin. The woman in this text represents the Holy Spirit, whose ministry is to make sure that each one who belongs to the bridegroom will be at the wedding of Christ. Who is the one that belongs to the bridegroom? Who is the one who's the bridegroom? Christ. Who is the one that's to be at the wedding? Those who believe in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit wants to make sure each one who belongs to the bridegroom will be at the wedding. Everyone is valuable to the Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit protects
and keeps us into the day of Christ. As it says in Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. When a lost sinner is found, when he has repented and turned to God, God begins by the power of the Holy Spirit to make that person into the image of Christ. And one day, that sinner, us, will be like Christ. Where do we see that? We see that in 1 John, and we'll get to that in a second. God wants us to have fellowship with Him. God loves us, and He wants us to love Him. God sees the righteousness of Christ in us, the saved person, without having a spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing, holy and blameless before Him, because He sees Christ in us. As it says in Ephesians 5:27, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. When Christ is revealed, we shall be like Him. That's what the Word of God tells us. The Pharisees, they forgot that God is a God of mercy and takes pity for His children. As Psalm 103, verses 8 through 13 tells us, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who love, to those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. When we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, He's atoned for all of our sins. And the Father has removed them as far as the east is from the west. He no longer sees sin within us. He sees the righteousness of Christ. When we sin, we're to confess that sin so we can stay within fellowship of Him, with Him. There are few joys that match the joy of finding the lost and bringing them to Christ as their Savior and Lord. Got a quote from John Wesley here. It says, the church has nothing to do but to save souls. And how are we able to do that? God allows us. The Holy Spirit allows us. We might plant the seed or water the seed, but the Holy Spirit brings the harvest. Jesus welcomed sinners. He came to seek and save the lost. Luke 19:10. All three of these parables have to do with the Father's heart of love. The Lord Jesus wants us to see the Father's love, the Father's compassion for us. When something of value is lost, we search for it and rejoice when we find it. The lost sheep is not so much about lost sheep, but a seeking shepherd. It's how God seeks for us. In fact, one of the things that God does is it says in Scripture, He has to drag us to Him. Just like it says in Jeremiah 31, verse 3. We are drawn to Him. He drags us to Him. The lost coin is about a searching woman, the Holy Spirit, who keeps us. The lost son is about a loving father. All of these speak of the Father in heaven, our Almighty God, and how He loves us, His children. God said in Hebrews 13:5, He will never leave us or forsake us. We should be thanking Him for that
that he's with us each and every day. Let's pray. Father in heaven, almighty God, we just praise you and thank you. We praise and Father and thank you for your great love for us. We thank you, God, for your everlasting love. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit keeps us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are kept by you, as your word says in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, that we are kept by you. Father, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd be with each one here today, that you would help each one of us to grow in your love, and that we will come to know you and love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. We thank you for the love that you did in sending Jesus Christ to atone for our sins. Be with us now and be with those who are not here also. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.